Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Ice World Podcast. I'm your host, Nadia Frontier. In today's episode, we're marking the Antarctic Midwinter Celebration. That is the shortest Southern Hemisphere day of the year. It is cold and dark. The release of this episode on the 23rd of June is timely, as Midwinters was celebrated on the Antarctic and Subantarctic research stations only 2 days ago. Marking the 21st of June holds its traditional route since 1902, where early polar explorers such as Robert Falcon Scott and his team celebrated Midwinters during the Discovery Expedition. The team exchanged handmade gifts and shared a luxurious meal. And today, the culture remains very similar across the research stations, and not only just the UK stations, but other national research stations too. I am joined online today by three winterers, currently living and working across the British Antarctic Survey's only three wintering stations, but they cannot see and interact with each other, except for on Zoom. I'm joined by Charlotte Rayner, a zoological field assistant working on seals, and also winter station leader at Bird Island. Bird Island is located to the northwest of South Georgia and constitutes its own separate island. Moving further to the northeast across South Georgia, we have an electrician, David Reed. He is wintering at King Edward Point Research Station. And moving further south to the West Antarctic Peninsula, we have Eloise Seville on Adelaide Island. She is Rothera's wintering carpenter and is the first female carpenter to have worked on Halley Research Station. Eloise is also the first female to winter as a carpenter at Rothera. Okay, so thank you all for joining me here today. It's great to have a diversity of guests from three different research stations, and this will be the first for us. So I'd like to start with an introduction from you all. Charlotte, can you please give me a summary of the work that you're currently doing at Bird Island?
So I'm the seal zoological field assistant at Bird Island. So basically during summer, I'm doing work with the long-term monitoring of the fur seal population. And then winter, I move on to the leopard seals that arrive and monitor them, taking ID photographs. I'm also currently the winter station leader, and then that will be replaced again with the summer station leader.
And is this your first time working with the British Antarctic Survey?
It is, yeah. It's once in a lifetime experience.
Amazing. And David, what about you? What is it like working as an electrician in the polar regions compared to your past life as an electrician in the UK?
It's more fun. it's a good diversity of work, which keeps it a lot more interesting than just being at home and doing house bashing and stuff like that.
And how long have you been working with the British Antarctic Survey for, David?
Since 2018. So this is my fourth winter contract with them.
Amazing. So where else have you wintered?
I did my first winter at Bird Island, and then I did my second winter at KEP, and then I did my third winter at Rothera, and now I'm back at KEP.
What has brought you back to KEP for the second time?
I think here has like the best quality of life of the stations. I think the work-life balance here is a lot easier. And like the freedom of the hills and getting to do like the stuff that's outside of your job. This is the one that has the most opportunities for that.
I can't believe you've done 4 winters. That is impressive. And Eloise, what does carpentry on the West Antarctic Peninsula look like for you?
It's looking good. We've got a new carpentry workshop in the new Discovery building. So we're still sort of setting that up at the moment. So I like what Dave said about house bashing back in the UK. It is definitely different to that.
Is this your first contract with the British Antarctic Survey?
No, I just did, well, technically no. I did the summer season at Halley 2024-25, and then I came home for 2 weeks before coming down to Rothera. And then, so technically this is contract 2, but it feels like stint 1 still.
Yeah, you're like one big journey, all still very new. That's amazing. And what made you choose to want to do a winter at the most southerly research station in Rothera?
The winter, I feel like, is what I've been looking forward to the most because it's so bizarre. It's just going to be dark. No one's coming in or going out. We're like alone. We trained as a wintering team. We did a camping trip together during pre-deployment training. So it feels like this is what it's been leading to. And right now, the moon is a full moon and like the sea is starting to freeze. It just feels very otherworldly.
Have you done something like this before, Eloise, or is this your first polar cold experience?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I've just been UK bound up until now. I knew I wanted to be a carpenter. Well, when I wanted to be a carpenter, that it would hopefully lead to international things. But I didn't think the first thing I did would be the furthest possible point on the globe.
And you sound so psyched about it. So I love that. And David and Charlotte, you're both currently based on the same island, South Georgia, but you've got this huge barrier of glaciers and mountains that are separating you. Is that frustrating? Do you wish that you could visit each other's research stations?
Yeah. I wish we could travel between the two. I mean, like Eloise was saying about pre-deployment training, you meet all these people and they know they're so close, yet too far. The travel to is a bit frustrating.
Charlotte, what about you with four people at Bird Island? Do you wish you could have a few more people over winter, or do you like it as it is?
It'd be nice to see a few more faces. Yeah, have a good chat. But yeah, it's mad to think this really close, but it's what, probably a 12-hour boat journey away.
Have you experienced small community living like this before?
I knew there was going to be four of us, but no, I've not been this small before community-wise. It's a challenge, but because there's only four of you, it's like living with a little family.
And when was the last supply of fruit and vegetable by the South Georgia Fishery Patrol vessel to Bird Island and King Edward Point?
Our last delivery was from the Sir David Attenborough last call back in the beginning of April. Yeah, we haven't had freshies for a while.
Ours was like 2 weeks ago.
Charlotte, will you get input from the South Georgia Fisheries Patrol vessel across the winter, or is that it? SDA is the last call.
There's no guarantee. We have been penciled in the next rotation, but there is no guarantee due to the weather and the ice, because they have to get their inflatable rib to us because they can't get the ship into the dock. So it all depends on the weather.
Okay. And David, I mean, you've got a pretty cushy setup there at KEP. I remember also being very surprised that you kept having this continual supply of fruit and veg coming from Rothera. And Eloise, how's it like for you? What's left in terms of the freshies? I mean, I know you've still got the Sir David Attenborough around.
Yeah, we just got a big dump of fresh fruit and vegetables, thank God. But I guess soon they'll dwindle away, and then it will be 4 months until our next delivery. Yeah, I remember a few weeks ago with the ceremony of eating the last egg. It was amazing.
And David, how many people are there at KEP right now on your station?
At the moment, we've 10. So there's 8 ones who are working for Bass. And then we've got 2 government officers in as well. That they do all the fishery side, though. They go out and do boat inspections and are like the police officers. They're the law.
Okay. And your last winter before this was at Rothera. So you had a team of what, like 30 people?
I think we had 26.
Okay, so how does that, I know you've done it before, but how does it feel going from then having quite a big winter to now going to quite a smaller team again?
It's tough. It's different. I think I prefer the bigger team, but the smaller team has its perks. I've had a room to myself this entire season, which is just not a thing at the other stations, which is really nice. Like, that's such a luxury.
And Charlotte, have you had a room to yourself the whole season?
Definitely not. we have to share up until the last call in April, and then we get a room to ourselves over winter, and then we'll go back to sharing in October.
And Eloise, you are probably due to have your own room soon. You've got a massive winter team this year. What's the story at Rothera?
Yeah, we've got 42 winterers, but I think everybody gets their own room. I've had my own for a few weeks now. It's been marvellous. I really liked my roommate, but it is really nice to make the space your own, for sure.
What is the current station population at the moment? Because we're recording this on the 9th of June, and the Sir David Attenborough hasn't even made its last call. This is a very exceptional year with the Discovery.
Yeah, I think there's 12 people left to leave us still. So I guess that makes 54. It's definitely quite much more quiet than it was since the last boat. We've downsized the canteen, so there's less tables and chairs. Yeah, it's just really quiet. You can kind of walk between buildings now without necessarily bumping into anybody, which is a change, because when I got here, it was over 150 people. So it's pretty nice and chill at the moment.
Charlotte, could you imagine having a research station of 150 people?
No, definitely not. Yeah, it seems a lot with 12 in summer here. So yeah, having 150 people would be, yeah, crazy.
And what's the change like from winter to summer at Bird Island?
Weather-wise, it stays pretty much the same. but yeah, we can fit 12 people on station, but it's quite a crowded station with 12. So it gets quite busy. There's 6 zoological field assistants, so they're out most days, every day. And then there's the tech team that are here doing maintenance and stuff. So yeah, it changes quite a bit from winter to summer with just the volume of people.
Nice sharing of diverse skills. And what about King Edward Point? How are the changes from winter to summer?
I prefer the winter when it's all white. It looks a lot prettier, but most of the wildlife goes. So in the summer, you have like it's packed full of elephant seals and fur seals and pups running about, and everywhere's a bit crazy. Whereas now we have like three or four seals cutting about.
What's the wildlife situation at Bird Island, Charlotte, at the moment?
Yeah, we've still got lots about. We've got all the wanderer chicks that are all sat on their nests. So yeah, we do monthly checks on them. They'll be sat there until December, so we get to watch them grow up over winter. We still have fur seals dotted about, not as many as this summer. You can actually walk the beaches at the moment. And then, yeah, we get the leopard seals come and join us as well, and they haul out on the beaches.
Amazing. So still really busy. Is it ever hard to sleep? Are the sounds of the animals quite loud in the winter compared to the summer?
In winter, it's relatively quiet. In summer, you get all the fur seal pups screaming outside your window day and night, and the mums calling for their pups. And then, yeah, I think start of November, you get the Ellie pups, elephant seal pups, that also decide to sit outside your window and scream throughout the night and then sleep all day. So yeah, it's quite noisy during summer at night time.
I think you need to become nocturnal in the summer then. And you probably could with almost 24 hours of daylight. And Eloise, what's the wildlife situation like for you at Rotherham?
Well, at night, actually, sometimes I can hear humpbacks from my window, which is really nice for sleeping. It's like so magical. We've had an emperor penguin here lately, just one lone dude. I'm not sure why he's here, but I think he's still going strong out there. And then still lots of Adelie penguins on the runway and fur seals. Yeah. And I think an orca was spotted on Saturday, but I missed it.
And you said also the sea ice is starting to form. Are there any areas that are particularly thick that you may be able to walk and travel on the sea ice soon?
I don't think yet. It's mostly just been pancake ice for a while, and then yesterday evening I was on a run and saw that it was actually starting to be quite solid on the south side. So hopefully, I don't know how long does it take for it to get thick. Hopefully a few weeks, maybe a month.
Yeah, very variable, dependent on temperature and quite a few other factors, and also the wind can just take it. You think you've got a couple of meters of sea ice and the wind can just instantly take it away. Well, but fingers crossed you have some good sea ice, because it is pretty magical to be able to walk out on it. And how many daylight hours have you got at Rotherham right now? Have you said goodbye to the sun yet?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago we had our sundown ceremony up at the cross, which was really beautiful. And Sinead here did an a cappella song, and then maybe five or six humpbacks came out and were all kind of talking alongside her. It was crazy. They were like extremely loud, like echoing around the bay. But my watch says we get the sun for like an hour and a half, but the sky is bright for maybe 4 hours of the day now. It's kind of like perpetual sunrise, sunset vibes.
And over on South Georgia, do you ever lose the sun at either Bird Island or King Edward Point?
Well, we lose the sun on station. So because we're like in the hills, so sun stopped hitting station like a couple of weeks ago now. But like if you go for a hike up the hills, you can go search for the sun and you will find it.
Is that the same for Bird Island as well?
Yeah, the sun stopped hitting station a couple of months ago, probably. But we very rarely see the sun anyway. So we're currently constantly in clouds. So the sun is there. You can see it over South Georgia, but Bird Island, it just doesn't hit really. So
yeah, how are you coping with that? Are you missing the sun, Charlotte? Because that seems like all year round, you're not really experiencing it.
Yeah, definitely miss the sun. You can tell when the sun hits because everyone is outside, sat outside, trying to get outside just to enjoy the few hours that we get during summer. But yeah, it's nice to see it when it arrives.
And so Charlotte, Midwinter's Week is coming up. Are you able to take a break in your busy work schedule to enjoy the festivities, or what's the structure like for you?
Unfortunately, I still have to go out every day looking for leps. So it will depend on whether there is a leopard seal or not as to how long I'm out for. It could take anywhere from an hour and a half to the whole day, whole sunlight hours, if there is some leps about. So it just depends on what I see.
Did you know about the Midwinter celebration before? Is it something that you've heard of?
I'd heard of it, but only because I knew someone at Wintered last year.
What's it about King Edward Point? Have you got a week of fun activities planned?
Yeah, we have Winter Olympics. We do like a themed crawl. Everyone does like a different themed room in the workspace. We have like Midwinter Day, which is like Christmas. Everyone does like a big combined cook. You wear your fancy suit, you get your shirt and tie on. What else do we have planned? We're going to have like a big movie and curry night, pizza night. The only thing is we're down our station leader is away. We're like rotating station leaders. So there's like a week and I have to cover. So I have to be boss man for a week.
Oh, during midwinter. So does that mean you're responsible for planning the activities and the organizational fun?
Yeah. I don't know whose idea this was. This seems like such a bad idea. But it'd be grand.
What tools have you got available at King Ever Point, David, to be able to make your midwinter gifts and make them personalized?
We've actually got quite a lot here. We've got a woodworking shop, which has got like mostly fairly basic tools. We've got like a chop saw and a thicknesser and like hand chisels. There's quite a good supply of wood that people can use. And then we've got a whole metalworking shop, which has got like a lathe. We've got all different types of welders. We've got loads of stock metal. So if you can think it, you can build it pretty much.
Have you started on your gift or is it too soon?
I have. That's what I was actually working on just before this. I was like, right, okay, I'll get another wee hour or two in.
And what about Bird Island, Charlotte? I mean, it must be so different in terms of materials and tools you have available to you, or how is it?
We have the workshop, but David would probably know more about what's in there than I do. We've got clay and we all brought some craft stuff down with us knowing that we had to make a midwinter's gift. So we're prepared.
And Eloise, so you work in the carpenter shed, so you're literally in the perfect position to be making midwinter gifts. What's the scene like there at Rothera? Loads of people just waiting to use the carpenter shed and you're spending more time on their gifts than your own?
Yeah, well, because we've been moving from everywhere else into Disco, the Chippy Shed was sort of out of action for a while. And I'm on the move team until it's officially winter. So Jimmy, the other carpenter, has been, I think, taking the full force of that. Yeah, it's chock-a-block in there, but exciting. Mine's maybe half done, I'd say.
Oh, congratulations. That's really good. Really good.
Thank you.
I'd love you to tell me what they are. How are the midwinter preparations looking like at Rothera? Do you know what's happening for the week?
Yeah, we've talked about it loosely. I think on midwinter's morning, I think Alex Roots, the station leader, he's going to come down the hallway of Admirals with a little tea tray and give us morning coffee and tea, which will be really nice. And we're going to watch the thing, definitely. There's going to be a big feast, of course. And the next 3 days after midwinter, we do a sort of kitchen takeover to give the chefs a break, which will be really fun. And we've got Winter Olympics as well.
What sports have you got planned for Winter Olympics?
I don't know. It's all very hush-hush. I'm not in the organising team, so I don't know. I'm just ready to compete, like very competitively.
What winter sport do you think you'll excel at?
If there was a luge, I think I would be really good at it.
So niche. David, what sports do you have planned for the King Edward Point Midwinter Day, given that you are now in charge?
Well, so because I'm in charge, I'm able to pick out a winter committee. So it means that I'm not in charge.
Delegation.
Delegation, yeah. Hell yeah. No, I think we're going to have, there's going to be a snowman building contest, that I'm sure. I don't know about the rest, though.
And David, so this is going to be your fourth midwinters. That's wild. What aspect of midwinters do you most look forward to or do you enjoy the most?
The dinner is a big one. Big fan of a big, massive roast dinner. It's like really wholesome midwinter days. Like everyone's in good form. If most people try and get the day off if they can. It's kind of like waking up on Christmas. And it's like, that's that hurdle of like midwinter, like the days are going to start getting longer again. The sun's on its way back. It's just a nice point in the season.
Wicked. And do you think this one will be quite different to the last one you had?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, it all comes down to the team. Like where you are, I don't think it's actually the decider. I think it's the people you're with is the big thing. And every team's always massively different. So I've got my boy Finn, he's the mech with me, and me and him get on like a house on fire. It's great. We have a blast.
And Charlotte, what have been your best moments of winter so far, generally?
Actually, I've got to go with the seeing a leopard seal up close. There's something spectacular about the animal. And seeing them hauled out on the beaches here, they're just amazing. There's certain ones that I know that are regulars that I can spot now. So yeah, it's pretty good.
And how are you able to identify individuals?
It's all done through their markings. We've got a database full of their ID photos. So every seal has a different marking. So you can pick out who it is who, usually out in the field, if you get to know what markings they've got.
Are you still having to put tags on the leopard seals?
Yeah, so we do still flipper tag them. Currently, I've tried too, but they're the regulars that have been tried each season, so they're a bit wary of the humans. I'm just waiting on which ones we're putting GLS tags on this year, so we'll get data where they go for a full year, hopefully, if they then return the next year to retrieve them.
And Eloise, have you got any Weddell seal pups on the ice in addition to your emperor penguin?
I haven't seen any pups yet, no, but I've heard that it's going to be noisy and incredible. I'm excited.
That would be really nice. Hopefully they do come. Maybe it's a bit later in the season. Have there been any aurora sightings yet? Now it's starting to be dark.
There's been quite a bit of aurora here, and the stars, even without it, are so incredible. It's really crazy seeing the Milky Way across the sky, kind of the opposite way to at home, and that you can see it so clearly. If you go down to the wharf at night, it's like mind-boggling.
Do you just ever sometimes sleep outside because you just want to be watching the night sky the whole night?
I have lay down at the wharf for a few hours. Yeah.
So beautiful. And Eloise, have you actually been on your winter trip yet? Have you had the opportunity to sleep in a tent somewhere outside of the station?
No, I haven't had mine yet. Mine's after midwinter. But this weekend just gone, me and the moves team got taken out up Reptile Ridge with some field guides, which was so fun. We looked down a crevasse and like climbed up behind it so we couldn't see the station anymore. And it was awesome.
Well, that's so exciting. I guess the winter trip will help to combat the midwinter blues, as they say. After such a great week, it can sometimes be a bit, what's next? It's still dark. But what is next on King Edward Point? How are the winter plans shaping up?
For me, big plan is after midwinter at the end of July, I've got my second trip, my second holiday. So the hope is to get, like, we get boat-assisted trips off the peninsula. So the boat takes you to another peninsula and you go and stay in little huts about the place. So I'm going with Katie, who's one of our scientists on station. And we've got, like, this whole route planned out of all the different huts we want to go stay in. So I'm stoked for that. And then we've got fishing vessels and krill vessels coming in. So we get the help of the boating, like transferring the government officers out to those, which is just getting out in the boats up down here's class, because that's when you see all the wildlife and just go around icebergs and through the ice. It's good crack.
Wow. And Charlotte, when will your winter end at Bird Island? When does the summer season start for you?
So we get the next influx of people in end of October, and then all the summer work starts we start it around September, just before the new lot come in. We start prepping for the summer season, and the bird people start going out and starting checking their nests and if their birds are starting to lay.
Does that feel quite far away though, given that you're kind of like almost at the halfway point in winter?
It does, yes. And we've heard lots of things about how August goes wrong, so we shall see.
Okay, well, I hope you have a good August. And what, Charlotte, what does the polar regions mean to you? What kind of impression has it left on you so far? And do you think you'll take anything away from it into the real world?
Yeah, it's left a huge impression on me. It's such a experience being down here, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I keep saying it's like living in a wildlife documentary. We live on a breeding fur seal beach, so it is amazing. And yeah, the people you get to experience it with, you meet friends for life. One thing I'll take away, I love making my own bread. It's not something I'd made before, and yeah, I love it. Making baguettes, it's one way to expand your cooking range down here, because yeah, we have everything on station you could possibly need to cook with.
Yeah, actually on that, what will your midwinter cooking feast be, do you know?
I think we're starting off with baguettes and camembert for starters to dip in, and then I'm not sure what the mains is yet. I think we're going to go roast, and then me and Jess are going to make probably a cake for dessert.
Good luck with the baguette baking as well, very important skill to have in life. David, what do the polar regions mean to you now you've sampled almost all of the British Antarctic Survey stations?
I love that. I don't know. I think it's a lot about like perspective. Like when you go back to the real world and you're like queuing in traffic or going for like a food shop, you don't need to stress about it as much. You come down here and you're like, right, okay, as long as I've got like heating and electricity and water, like things are good. Life is good.
And then you can just appreciate things a lot more, right? Because you're not having
to. Yeah, down here, like my biggest stress is if something breaks, which is what I'm paid to stop from happening. So I try to keep that to a minimum. And then like what I'm cooking for dinner that night.
Eloise, what do the polar regions mean for you? What impact have they had on your life?
It is so beautiful down here. Like a high concentration of like beautiful landscapes and skies. So it's really hard to like go home. I was only home for 2 weeks in between, but it was like, oh, look at all this tarmac and all these people. It was really jarring. So I guess it's hard to forget how incredible some places are. Maybe my answer is quite boring. I've got really into the gym while I've been here. So I'm hoping to return home, like, shredded.
I love that that's what the polar regions mean to you. And will you be staying for the whole of the summer or will you leave early? Do you have an end date?
I'm actually going back to Halle after this. So I'll be leaving on one of the first dashes in October and then home for a few weeks again and then back down south for 3 months or so.
Wow, you are literally springboarding around. That is crazy. And what's happening at Halle? Why do they need a carpenter at Halle? Is that normal?
It's going to be a really good season, actually. It's a relief season. So the ship's coming in to drop off supplies and stuff like that. So we'll be traveling to the coast to go and get stuff off of that. And I was halfway through a project last season, so hopefully get to finish that. And also build a new chippy shed, which will be awesome.
Cool. At Halle. That's fun.
Yeah.
That'll be a nice thing to leave your legacy on and also be involved in.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. And there'll be two carpenters there.
Enjoy your midwinter celebrations. And it's been lovely to talk to you all. So thanks for your insights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode as to what a reverse Christmas celebration looks like in the Southern Hemisphere on Antarctic and Subantarctic research stations. In our next episode, we will be joined by Dominic Jakes to talk us through the automation of Halley Research Station and how data is collected remotely whilst the station is vacant. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, think about writing a nice review as a midwinter's present to me. I'm Nadia Frontier, and thank you for listening.